Good morning. It's the 26th of December.
Our first reading for today is Job 35 and 36, which has the end of Elihu's speech. I'm going to read to you from Brother Ralph Lovelock once again. He comments on these chapters in this way. Here, Elihu concentrates on the importance of the human reaction to divine affliction. To the man who repents with humility, God will yet prove a saviour, whereas to the man who rebels in pride, there is only destruction from God. If they hearken and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasantness. But if they hearken not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. But they that are godless in heart lay up anger. He delivereth the afflicted by his affliction, and openeth their ears in oppression. In pressing this argument, he proves his lack of perception in the case of Job. Job was foolish in trusting to his own ability to understand and judge what was happening. But Elihu was equally so in his certainty that he understood everything so clearly. Job's refusal to acknowledge that which Elihu judged to be fundamental stung his pride and caused him to charge Job with pride and rebellion against God. Quite plainly, however, as we have seen, Job has been constantly seeking to find and understand God, and his fault lay in ignorance rather than in refusal to learn, as at other times, even in this mistaken judgment of Job, we find another gleam of vision, a further advance of insight into God's way, which amply justifies the inclusion of the Elihu speech. We have already noted the idea of a ransom, which could be paid for the salvation of man. And here Elihu carries the idea further by naming suffering as the ransom. Read now chapter 36, verses 18 and 19. He is still in error, of course, by imagining even that the suffering in the life of sinful man can suffice to save him. But he is, at least, halfway towards the idea that suffering in the life of a sinless man could suffice for the salvation of many. In the two final sections of his speech, when he proceeds to consider the power and wonder of God, he comes near in many ways to the ideas contained in the final speech by God himself. He strives firstly to show the extent of God's knowledge, skill and power, and then, in his second section, to indicate how foolish it was of Job to imagine that he could in any way seek out God with his own wisdom and understanding. In this place also, he displays an advance over the general outlook of the three. But the speech of God which follows is so phrased as to demonstrate the weakness and inadequacy of this merely human comprehension of his greatness. Elihu truly stresses the inability of man by his own searching to find out God. But together with it bears in mind that it is God's pleasure to reveal himself and thus teach man what otherwise he would never know. Behold, God doeth loftily in his power. Who is a teacher like unto him? All men have looked thereon. Man beholdeth it afar off. When God does intervene, he speaks out of the midst of a storm, and it is evident from the references towards the end of Elihu's speech that the storm was arising, and that it gave point to some of his words. Thus, when instancing the wonderful works of God, he mentions rain, clouds, thunder, and lightning, finally calling attention to it as actually present. And so God intervenes, and his first question is a challenge. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? It is not just a challenge to Elihu. It is a challenge to all, even in our day. Thank you for listening.